Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. And let's seek the face of the Lord at the throne of grace in prayer. Our loving God and our Father, we thank Thee for the opportunity of coming to Thee. We rejoice in the mercy of God, and we thank Thee that mercy has been bestowed upon us. And our Father, we thank Thee for the depths of God's mercy. O God, we thank Thee that it saves us indeed from a thousand falls. We fall every day, but Lord, we thank Thee that in grace Thou dost lift up Thy people. And our Father, we'd ask Thee that Thou wouldst have mercy tonight and lift up those that are right down in the very depths of sin this evening, those that are on the road to Christless eternity, those that are on a mad dash to destruction. O Father, have mercy upon them. And draw them to Thyself that they might seek the Savior, call upon Thy name, and that Thy mercy might be bestowed in mighty power. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. The Lord Jesus told this very important parable about the sower who went out to sow. And it is a vitally important parable because it is the key to the understanding of all parables. You notice what the Lord said in verse 13, "Know ye not this parable, and how then will ye know all parables?" And the reason for that is that we understand the parable because the Lord Himself gives the interpretation. Now you notice that there are three elements in this parable. There is the sower, there's the seed, and there are the soils. The sower is the Lord Himself, and He goes with the seed, which is the Word of God. We're told that. Here the Lord says to them in verse 14, "The sower soweth the Word." So there's no doubt about that. And then we find that the seed falls upon different grounds. We read about the wayside ground. We were looking at that last Lord's Day. And we noticed that that kind of ground is hard and beaten, and the seed of the Word of God is not able to enter in. And we thought about the wayside hearer and how he is hardened against the gospel. And not only is he hardened, but we read about Satan who comes, because it says that the fowls of the air come down and snatch away the seed that has been sown. And again, we are not left in doubt about the interpretation, because the Lord says that that is Satan that comes and snatches away the Word of God. And the devil wants to snatch away the seed from your heart. He wants to in every way prevent you from responding to the gospel, and he will get you in every way to turn aside and be distracted from the Word of God. Now tonight we want to look at the second type of ground, which is the stony ground. And if you look in Mark chapter 4 verses 5 and 6, it says, "And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away." Now, you notice that the wayside hearer has absolutely no interest in the gospel. It does not make any dent in his heart at all. But there are those that are represented by the stony ground here. And when you see these people, we find that the Word of God is received to some degree and measure. And they are those that have come to God, and they have responded in some way to the Word. But we find also that there is no root, no real root anyway, no depth of root. And when the sun of affliction and when the sun of difficulty comes, we find that they wither away. Now, I would say that in this world tonight, there are many wayside hearers. I would say the vast majority of people around us are wayside hearers. They are not in any way affected by the gospel. They don't want to hear it. They don't want in any way to receive that Word of God. And the vast majority are wayside hearers. And when I speak to you about those that receive the Word of God and then afflictions come and they wither away, it really speaks about a false professor. And when I say that, I would tell you, and of course,
we can see that there are not so many stony ground hearers in the world. The wayside hearers are numerous, but the people that are represented by the stony ground are not so numerous. But I'll tell you what I fear. I fear that stony ground hearers are more numerous than we would like to think. Stony ground, I have an awful fear that there are more stony ground hearers, people that hear the Word of God and make an initial response and seem to be saved and seem to have the grace of God in their life, but there is nothing there. The Bible says that by their fruits ye shall know them. And listen, men and women, it would be an awful thing for us to go and stand at the judgment seat and even think in ourselves that there is life, to think in ourselves that we have received the Word, to think in ourselves that there is something there, and to find out that the Lord says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Now that is why it is absolutely vital this evening that we respond and listen to what it says here in this text of Scripture about the stony ground hearer. On your soul's eternal welfare, men and women, make sure that you are a true believer. Make sure that God is really working in your heart. Now there are a number of things about the stony ground hearer that I want you to see in the parable that is before us. Now the first thing I want you to see is their dynamism. You see that as the seed is found in their heart, it begins to work very rapidly. Notice what it says in the parable, "And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up." And then you go down the passage, if you look in verse 16, it gives the interpretation. "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness." And you notice some things about what they do. They receive the word. They are not like those on the wayside who will not let the seed penetrate within them. But there, here the seed enters into the ground. The seed of the word of God has some effect. The soil on the rock here would have been soil which would have been of very good quality. Soil that falls on rocky ground is usually made up of rotting leaves and of material that has, refuse material that has fallen there different times and has rotted down. And really what you get on a rocky ground is a thin layer of compost material. And it would have been high in nutrients, and it would have been good feeding material for young plants, and it would have had in it all that it needed. And so the seed falls on this rich, loamy soil, this compost, and immediately it germinates. It begins to shoot up. And you notice the word "immediately" in the text. It has it in the Lord's parable here, or the description, and then also in the interpretation. Immediately. There's a dynamism here. Something happens. And we see that as the Word of God gets in, there is a response to the Word of God. It's rapidly quickened and begins to grow, and there's a green and luxuriant growth. And we see that these people receive the Word of God, and they don't reject it. They don't turn their back upon it. Men, women, I wonder if that is you this evening. You have come here, and you do not receive, you receive the Word of God. And there are many of unsaved people, and they would in no way want to reject the Word of God. And as you've come this evening, you're not opposed to the gospel. You're not opposed to, you're not in many ways like the wayside hearer who puts up a front who is cold and hard against the Word of God. You say to yourself, there is a day when I get saved. There's a day when I will turn to God. There's a day when I will listen to the Word of God. But I want you to notice this. Not only do these people here in the stony ground receive the Word of God and not reject the Word of God, but it says they do it gladly. And it speaks of their joy as they come. It says in verse 16, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness." Oh, it is what you want to hear. It is the very thing to meet the need of your heart. Sinner in the depths of sin, it is the thing that brings peace. And you know that the gospel will bring peace. It will bring a change. You need your sins forgiven. Here's the promise of sins forgiven. You need peace in your heart. Here is the promise of peace in your heart. You want joy. Your heart is right down in the depths today. You're filled with all the cares and the distresses of this life. And here is a message that speaks of peace and pardon and blessing. And that is what you want to hear. And the stony ground hearer embraces the word of God. It is something that he knows will meet the need of his heart. There's not only an acceptance of the message, but there's a glad acceptance. And we find that the little plant begins to sprout in the richness of the soil, and it is bushy, and it is green. And my, it shows such fruit. Or rather, it doesn't show fruit, but it shows such growth. It seems to be the real thing. And you know, there are many people who are like that. You know, how does this all translate into real life? Well, you know, sometimes you get people who come into the gospel meeting and they make a profession. And it seems as if they have got saved. And it appears to many people that they are Christians, and they truly are very like Christians. Indeed, you notice if you take the parable literally that they are very much like Christians. They show signs of real life. Indeed, the stony ground hearer in many ways might be the person that will be at the prayer meeting. They might even be out on the witness. And they might even be people that would chide other Christians because they're not zealous enough. Now, I remember a lady like this many years ago in Enniskillen. I don't remember her name, but I remember her coming along to the meetings, and she professed to get saved. And my, a brighter Christian you could never see in all your life. My, she was head and ears into everything straight away. And she was out on the outreach. She was at the prayer meeting, and she was speaking about the mighty things that she was doing. And I remember on one particular occasion speaking, and my, she had... She thought that it would be good if people were out more on outreach and knocking the doors and trying to get people in under the sound of the Word of God. And that lasted for a number of months. And then suddenly, she was no more. Suddenly, she left and we saw her never again. Stony ground hears. You know, that you could come and you could have a profession and you might seem like the real thing and look like the real thing. And my, you could have all the signs and symptoms of being a real child of God. But I wonder, dear friend, if there's something in the heart. Well, the first few days when you made that profession, it seemed so real. And yet the Bible says, or not the Bible, but the saying says, that all that glitter is not gold. And we need to make sure that the outward appearance is matched by the inward. You see, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Is your heart right with God? Is your heart right with God? And you see the dynamism of this seed. It shoots up. It seems to grow so well. But there is nothing there. And so we see the dynamism of this seed. But secondly, I want you to see the deterioration of this seed. Because we see that the people that are represented by this ground very soon lose interest in the things of God. And they begin to give up all ideas of following the Lord Jesus Christ altogether. It's like the lady in the Enniskillen church that I was speaking about a few minutes ago. And she went away and she never came back. And as I remember it, that didn't happen gradually. It just happened suddenly. There she was there one day and then she was gone. And that would fit in with what we have here in the parable, because you notice the words in the description immediately again in verse 17, what it says. And it says, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now they begin to deteriorate and relapse because there is no root. Now notice the circumstances of the relapse. It is in the circumstances of affliction or persecution. It says in the text, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So the son, now notice that it is the son that is is interpreted by the Lord as being afflictions or persecutions here. He told the parable and he said that the son arose. And when he gives the interpretation, he says that that is afflictions and persecutions. Now that is interesting because in the normal run of events, the son is something that the young plant needs. The young plant needs the sun to shine down upon it, to give it the food that is necessary. And of course, the light is used in the photosynthesis process in order to bring forth food, to feed the plant so it will grow and so it will flourish and so it will develop. Now, here it is that the very thing that would ordinarily bring life and would bring strength and bring blessing, it becomes a snare. And that is interesting because in God's people, when they get saved, oftentimes there are afflictions and there are persecutions. And the Lord sends the afflictions and the persecutions with the reason of strengthening us. When God's people get into those difficulties, and very often there are difficulties after a person gets saved. You go along to work and somebody laughs at you. You get involved in the run-of-the-mill events and things become harder and difficulties come along and you experience hard things because now you're a Christian and there are things that you can't do and there are things that you can't involved in. And the devil certainly comes and he will try to put snares in your road and try to bring you down. But not only in the real Christian makes them stronger, it helps them to stand. And they become stronger as they face the afflictions and the difficulties. You only become strong when you have some weight that comes against you that you have to push against. And that gives you fitness and gives you physical strength as you go along. It's the same in the Christian walk. But you notice here that the thing that should strengthen and the thing that should bring blessing becomes a snare, brings this person down. They can't face the trials. They can't face the difficulties. They can't face the devil. What should have made them strong makes them collapse. And I want you to be sure that when you start out on the Christian life, there will be difficulties. And there will be trials. And there will be afflictions. Things will discourage you. And I don't want to fool you in any way in thinking you, getting you to think that the Christian life is an easy life. The Lord in the parable said when affliction or persecution ariseth for the world's sake. He didn't say if affliction or persecution ariseth. He said when affliction or persecution ariseth, it will arise. There will be difficulties. And you need to face that, men and women. You need to realize that there will be difficulties. But if you've real life, you'll stand them. Don't be afraid that you'll fall. Don't be afraid that they will bring you down. Because if you've real life, you'll be able to stand them. It's only those that have no depth of root, and only those that have no depth of soil that are brought down by the afflictions. And I know that you maybe can think of examples of people that profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and now they're out in the world. Why? Because they were stony ground hearers. And you notice the circumstances of their relapse. But then notice the cause of their relapse. Why? Well, the Lord tells us here in verse 17, it is because they have no root in themselves. The reason is that they have no real root. They have no depth of root. And if the root in the plant, it gives it life, it gives it stability, it's able to draw the nutrients out of the soil, and it's the root that feeds it, and you think of the plant on the stony ground, and there's this thin layer of soil, and begins to shoot out the roots, and the roots are all along the surface. And then when the affliction or the sun, as the Savior says in the parable, beats down, it dries out the soil and the plant dies off. And we see here that the circumstances of the relapse is that there's no root. No root. And then, women, you realize that these people here that are represented were never saved in the first place. They were never saved. Oh, they looked as if they were saved. And they might have made a profession as if they were saved, but they weren't saved. You say, how do you know that? Well, you notice the words of the parable. You notice that the Lord says in verse 16 about the stony ground hearers, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. Now, the word likewise there relates back to the wayside hearer. He says that the wayside hearer comes, and the word of God is taken away from their heart, and there's no fruit, there's no real fruit. And then he says, and these, the stony ground hearers, are they likewise? There is a relationship between them. They are the same at the end of the day. There's no fruit. There's no fruit. There is death. They're not saved. And despite the great promise of the stony ground, there was no root and they weren't saved. And men and women, let me make it clear today that salvation is not a matter of believing in the facts of the gospel. It's not just a matter of accepting the facts of the Word of God and that you need to be saved and that you need to get right with God and that there's washing in the precious blood of the Lamb and that Christ died on the cross of Calvary to redeem your sins. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. The devils believe that. It's got to be yours. You've got to take hold of that. It has got to become part of you. You've got to hold the gospel. It has to be in your heart. Neither is the gospel a matter of emotion. I know that there are people that have come in gospel meetings in great emotion. And I don't despise emotion. If God has spoken to your heart and if God has broken down your heart and you realize that you're a sinner and you come in tears before Him, well, that's a good thing. But I want to tell you that it is not a mere emotional, it's not a mere emotional response. Because in meetings, a preacher or a good orator can so order events and can so speak as to stir the heart and to bring forth the tears and to bring forth the emotion. And a good orator can so sway the hearer and so sway the meeting that such a thing can happen. And you want to beware of those that play upon emotion. And when a profession comes and it's only based upon emotion and nothing else, then it is a sham. It's a sham. And there are many false professions that are based on emotion alone. And then could I say that salvation is not a matter of decision alone. There are many people that have made a decision, but it's a decision just to try out the Christian life. I remember speaking to a lady in a mission in Auchnacloy, and that night the evangelist couldn't come and I preached. And there were three that came out that night, but there was one of the ladies, and I was dealing with her, and her expression was, well, I give it a go. Well, men, women, you just can't give it a go. That's not faith in Christ. What happens when a person is truly saved? Something happens in the heart. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And instead of loving sin, you hate sin. Instead of loving the way of unrighteousness, you love the way of righteousness and the way of truth. And things are different. Yes, the backslider can backslide. And if you're a true backslider, you'll never be happy in the world. And you'll be never happy in the things of sin. But a true believer hates sin and hates the way of sin. And if that is not true of you, then there is no root.
If that is not true of you, if you have not a love of God's Word, and deep down a love of what God's Word says, and a knowledge that it is the truth, then there is no root in you. And it's time that you stop deceiving yourself, and it's time you stop pulling the wool over your eyes, and that you stood up and faced what it is that you need to do, and you need to get saved. You need to get saved tonight. So we notice the dynamism of this ground, this waste, or this stony ground here. And we notice the deterioration of this stony ground here. But then I want you to notice something else. Notice the death of this stony ground here. Look at verse 6. Look at the words of verse 6. It says, "But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away." It dies. It dies. And at the end of the story, when you look at this ground, this stony ground, what do you see? Nothing. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. Now, the true backslider is one who, like Lot, will be vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He might get down into the world, and he might backslide into the things of the world, but there will be that hatred of sin, as we have said. There will be something there. It mightn't be much. It mightn't be too big. And it mightn't really be flourishing, but there will be something there. But what do we find here? Nothing. Now, it looks so promising. It looked as if he was full of life and full of vitality, but there's no root at the end of the day, and that means death. And men and women, I want you to make sure the root of the matter is in you. That is not just something on the surface, but there is something below the surface. There's a heart that is in tune with God, a heart that loves God, a heart that wants to bring glory and honor and worship to the King of Kings. Is that true? Is that true? Do you love the Savior? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." What does the root bring? It brings life to the plant. If you have no depth of root, then there is no life. And you need to be joined to the root. You need to be grafted into the plant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love the Savior? Do you know Him? Do you really know Him in your heart? But notice the reason that is given why these people go back. It says they're offended. They're offended. You notice what it says in verse 17. "And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they're offended." What does that mean? Put the blame on somebody else. Somebody offends them. Something offends them. And they say, "Well, I couldn't listen to a message like that." Something in the Word of God offends them. Something in the circumstances of life offends them. And I know of people who have lost a loved one, or there has illness come into their lives, and they've blamed God and have gone back. And there are those that have been offended by other Christians, and so they've gone back. Or they've been offended by some of the doctrines of God's Word, and they have gone back. And I don't know, perhaps there is something that has offended you. Some circumstances come into your life, and in some way or other, you blame God. Even blame God. Blame the preacher. Blame the church. I don't know who you're blaming, but you've been offended. But would that offense be worth the loss of your soul's eternal welfare? Is it worthwhile to go to hell for that offense? Is it worthwhile to go down to the caverns of the damned for that offense? Now, I know that people can be offended by the Lord's Word and something that is spoken in the doctrines of God's precious Word, and there are people that rise up against the doctrines of God's Word and speak against it and say, "If that's the kind of God that you preach, I don't want anything to do with it."
And there are people that stand out like that and stand their whole life, and that is the reason why they reject the gospel. And you go to the door, and a person like that, you often find when you go to a door of a person like that, they'll immediately go on the attack. And they'll not only just politely refuse the tract or the literature that you offer, but they will come out and they will tell you all the things that have offended them and the things that they don't like and that what the Christians have done and what the Christians haven't done. And you'll get a whole spiel, they'll, as it were, read their belly to you about the things of God. But I don't know what has happened, and there might be a truth. And you might have some kind of justification for what you say. But is it worth your soul's eternal welfare? Is it worth the fact that you go to hell? You go down to the destruction of the damned in hell for that? Surely it's not worth it. Surely it's not worth it. These people are offended by the gospel. Offended by something that they hear. Offended by something, circumstance, illness, death, or something comes into their family. But men and women, I don't care what it is that's offending you. But you get right with God. And you turn to the Savior. And you find the one whom to know is life eternal. Because nothing in this world is worth facing a Christless eternity. There's nothing in this world will compensate you for that. And when you, if you ever land there, or in that place for all eternity, you will rue your excuse. You will rue your offense. Turn to Him tonight. He waits to pardon. He's a God of mercy and a God of grace. Don't be like the stony ground here. But let the Word of God have root within your heart. And be joined to the way, the truth, and the life. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we do thank Thee for Thy precious word. O God, we think of those who are stony ground hearers. And Lord, they seem so good. Seem, Lord, so promising. And yet, Lord, there's no root. O God, have mercy tonight. And if there's one like that in our meeting, let them see it. Let them see it. And O God, for those who know not Thee, that they may come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. O God, speak on tonight. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen.